Hi, and welcome to Heart, a Kingdom Hearts podcast, where I, Austin, usually explain the Kingdom Hearts series to my friends. But we're still in those couple of weeks where stuff's a little weird, so we're doing special episodes with a special friends from the Discord server.
Howdy, I'm Carlos. This is either my first or second episode, depending on the order of release. I'm having a great time. Join the Discord. Woo!
Hi, I'm Imperial HC. I have she, her pronouns, and ready to go on this next podcast episode adventure.
Hello, I'm TJ. I use he, they pronouns. This is my second or third time being on the podcast. So join the Discord and you can be in my spot. And you get to talk with Austin, who's super cool.
I'm Wayfinder, she, her, and this has gotten way bigger than I thought it would when the Discord was like, hey, I need, you know, ideas for filler rap. I did not expect to be on these.
When he said, I need ideas for filler episodes, I did not expect to be on said filler episodes.
Right?
I mean, if you're giving the ideas, I feel like you should be on your episode. Mm-hmm. It just feels right to me.
I literally joined the Discord to be on the podcast, and now I'm on the podcast. I'm like, what? And you meet a bunch of cool people.
Kingdom Hearts friends.
That's also fair. I needed that too.
Yeah.
We play games together sometimes. It's fun.
Yeah.
The games.
So this episode's about our Kingdom Hearts nostalgia. But Imperial, you suggested this episode, so would you like to take charge?
Sure, I guess. When I first thought of this idea, I was just kind of thinking of like how we all kind of got introduced to Kingdom Hearts in general. Because for me, it's kind of a weird jumble of stuff. But I think it'd be cool to hear what everyone else has, like experience wise.
I think mine might be the earliest, so maybe I should start.
Right. Yeah, give us a good basis, give us a good intro.
So mine's going to seem kind of boring because I got into it super early. There wasn't a lot to like be messing around with. So I had played Final Fantasy X with my stepdad, and it was like 2 years later that Kingdom Hearts comes out. And so I had this interest in Final Fantasy now. And, you know, this, it's also mixed with Disney. This is like a kid's game. This is perfect. So him and my mom got me Kingdom Hearts, and I fell in love, and I heavily anticipated every game coming out after that.
Rest is history.
I couldn't get Birth by Sleep or Dream Drop Distance until the collections because I didn't have a PSP at the time or a DS.
A 3DS.
A 3DS, yeah.
ADD was on.
Yeah, I didn't have either of those, so I just knew everything because I couldn't not look at the cutscene movies. But eventually when they came out on PS4, I literally bought a PS4 to buy every Kingdom Hearts game and replay them in the anticipation of Kingdom Hearts 3. I was a little early, but it worked out.
So I guess I'll go next with mine. People are quiet because mine is very weird. Mine is all over the place. Mine's like the exact opposite of Austin. Okay, so the reason I got into Kingdom Hearts was because my older brother had, back when I was younger, my older brother was usually the one that got all the consoles and we would share them. And my older brother had a PS2 and a copy of Kingdom Hearts. And I did not know what the heck it was. I was 6 at the time. I did not know what was going on. So here I am. Like, I saw the box art. See, there's a bunch of Disney characters and I'm like, yeah, I'll give this a shot, right? And so I like do the beginning. I do the tutorial. I always pick the Dream Sword because I was obsessed with swords. And then I always picked the Dream Shield second because I thought it would give him a shield as well, like a sword and shield, and I never got it. So then I realized later what those meant, but at the time I didn't. I just thought it picked his weapons for that section. And I would stay in that section, just use the Dream Sword. It was really funny. But eventually I would just like be on Destiny Islands. And then what sucked is our old TV at the time, it was a CRT. And you could not see during the point where all the shadows were attacking. It was pitch black. I couldn't see at the time. So I would stop playing then. And eventually I just copied my older brother's file and just played on an already beaten file and would just fight Ansem over and over because I thought it was funny. Obviously I was a little older at the time, but I would mainly just hang out in the Disney World. And then fast forward a couple years, I don't play, you know, Chain of Memories and Kingdom Hearts 2 like a normal person. No, I jumped to Days because I fell off and I like see Days in a GameStop and I'm like, ooh, Kingdom Hearts. I remember that game series. And by this point, I had gotten into one. I kind of like had beaten it before. I knew the ropes. But like, and I look at this and I'm like, my first thought, and I love this because I've told the story before, but I finally get to tell it on like the pod. I look at the box art. And I look at Roxas, who I thought was Sora, and I go, why is Sora blonde? And I look at Shion, and I'm like, why does Kairi have black hair? What happened? And I'm like, who's the red spiky-haired dude? And I didn't know what was going on. So I see this, and I'm like, I had a DS at the time, so I'm like, yeah, I'll get this. Let me get this. And so like, I begged my dad to get it, and he knew I was into Kingdom Hearts. He's like, yeah, sure, why not? And I fell in love with Days. I fell in love with the characters. I fell in love with everyone. Mission mode was my jam. Spent so long trying to unlock Sora. Never did. Because you had to 100% everything. Couldn't do it. Couldn't find the last little P ability unit to get dual wield Roxas, which sucks. I'd replay the last mission over and over to do dual wield all the time. It was great. And then after Days, I fall off again. My older brother was playing Birth by Sleep, but I was going through my whole I don't like RPGs phase, so I didn't pay attention to Birth by Sleep. My next game was Dream Drop Distance. Which is not
a wild fun. Jumping around you're doing.
Wild jumping around. My next game was Dream Drop Distance. I never even beat that until I think like 2 years ago. And then I went to 3. That was the first game I actually followed, because at that point I was watching a lot of lore videos, did all that. Finally was following a Kingdom Hearts game through release. Bought a PS4 just to play 3. Bought 3, played 3, was a little confused on some stuff, but like overall I did it. Super great. And then saw that the Story So Far pack was $20. And then I played the rest, and now I'm obsessed. Did not mean for that to rhyme. Also tried playing Union Cross, didn't work out. Also, 12-year-old me hated Rechain of Memories with a passion, which is why I hate Vexen so much. his boss fight specifically. I hate Vexen as a character now because of it, which sucks, because I know what they're trying to do with him. But yeah, my journey was all over the place, and I eventually got on the right timeline, and now I'm hooked, and I can't get off even if I tried. Don't do what I did. It's way too confusing. Don't think Roxas died. Don't think Sora dyed his hair.
He looks just like you.
Doesn't though.
My freaking like 9-year-old eyes he did. And then when I finally played Birth by Sleep and I saw Ventus, I'm like, what the fr-? I literally thought that was Roxas to somebody. I'm not even joking.
I mean.
Yeah.
I guess.
In a way he is.
Yeah, in a way he is. Argument should be made. But, like, at the time, we didn't really grasp that because me and my older brother did not understand how the lore worked fully. He just liked the gameplay. That's all he really cared about.
Yeah, the lore is weird. Bodies are weird.
Yeah. I didn't know what Final Fantasy was at all either. I only knew what Final Fantasy VIII was, so I saw Leon and would only call him Squall, because that's all I knew him as. But I didn't know 7. I knew 10. My older brother played 10 a lot, so I knew who the 10 characters were, and I knew who Leon was. That was it. Didn't know who Cloud was, or Sephiroth, or any of them. And now I'm obsessed with Final Fantasy. Yeah, I knew 8 and 10 before 7.
Like, I could understand not having played 7, but not knowing who Cloud and Sephiroth are is wild.
I saw Sephiroth, I saw my older brother try to beat Sephiroth, and I was like, huh?
Conan, and they're
Cronus.
They haven't that argument with Cronus over their name.
He should be Cloud. He has silver hair.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Cronus, if you're listening.
Yeah, this episode is fine.
Yeah, this shouldn't be too many spoilers. This shouldn't be spoilery because we're all talking about early games and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I literally had to stop myself from spoiling 3 on accident.
I don't actually really remember. I remember I would have had to be, oh gosh. I've mentioned this a couple times before. I've never owned a gaming system.
Yep.
So the first time I remember Kingdom Hearts being a thing was I was at my cousin's house and they were playing 2. Like they had just started 2, which means my first introduction to Kingdom Hearts was Roxas.
Let that sink in.
Not a bad place to start.
It depends on where you are.
And then I was interested in this game they were playing, and I remember learning a little bit about it, that it was like the second game,
the quote unquote second game.
it was two. It was Kingdom Hearts 2.
Yeah, Kingdom Hearts 2, the third game.
Yeah, and Kingdom Hearts 3 is the ninth.
And then I don't think I really got into it again until high school, when I think I just randomly came across a Let's Play of Kingdom Hearts 1 on my suggestions on YouTube. It just popped up randomly, and I went, oh yeah, I remember liking that. Click. And the rest is history.
I like how that's how a lot of people got back into Kingdom Hearts after their first game was just, I remember liking that.
Mm-hmm.
And now here they are.
And also, ironically enough, so all through middle school and high school, I had this trio. There was these two friends, and we were all super close. And then I'm in high school, I met my Kingdom Hearts friend. And I talk with her more often than I talk with my best friends for years. I talk more with her than I do with these, girls I basically grew up with. And it's all because of Kingdom Hearts. It was, you like Kingdom Hearts, I need someone to geek out about Kingdom Hearts with. I tried doing it with my friends, and she just, smiled. Like, the Madagascar penguin, smile and wave, boys.
Smile and wave, boys.
That is literally, the vibe I got when they're talking about Kingdom Hearts with her. And then my Kingdom Hearts friend goes, oh, Kingdom Hearts, I love those games. And, so 3 was the first game that I was active enough as, into Kingdom Hearts enough that I was here for the whole build up for it. And so 3 is always going to hold a special place in my heart for that reason. For being the first game that I got to sit and enjoy and with everyone else who was experiencing it for the first time. I wasn't behind the curve.
Yep. I was the same way.
I'll go next because, like Wayfinder, my Kingdom Hearts story actually starts at Kingdom Hearts 2 as well. So I'm very much like a Nintendo guy. Growing up, I only really had the Nintendo handhelds, like a Game Boy Advance and DS and all that stuff. But one of my best friends, had a PlayStation, and so he had Kingdom Hearts 2. And so he showed it to me one day, and I was like, this is sick, right? And, you know, I'd get to play it here and there whenever I would go over to his house. You know, I'd get to, I played, I think, a little bit of Olympus Coliseum. I played a little bit of Beast Castle. I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, I wish I, you know, could play this. And then I found out that 358 was going to be a thing. And I was like, okay, this is it. Like, I'm going to finally get to play Kingdom Hearts. And so I got it for Christmas. I don't know if it was the same year it came out. I think so. And I was just obsessed. I played that game every day that I possibly could. I got stuck a lot because that game is very difficult. But and that,
those panels, man.
Oh, but that panel system. I don't know if it's controversial to say this, but I love the panel system. I thought it was very unique.
It works.
I enjoyed it. That part I got the hang of. I don't have great fine motor skills, so games like this aren't super easy for me, but I was still having a good time. And then, so, you know, I think Recoded was next, and I didn't pay too much attention to that one because, you know, I was still a kid. I didn't really have, like, disposable income, so I couldn't, like, buy myself these games. But I think the next game I got was Birth by Sleep because I eventually got a PSP. And I think one of the main reasons I got a PSP was to play Birth by Sleep, especially because Ventus looks just like Roxas, and Roxas was, you know, my first playable Kingdom Hearts character. So I was like, oh, sick. This is going to be cool. And I like, kept track on the website. You know, they would, like, post, you know, like, you could hear music from the game and all that stuff. I was like, this is so cool. And so, you know, Birth by Sleep, immediately I pick it up, and I pick Ventus right away when they, like, give me the option. I'm like, I'm not going to pick anybody else. Of course I'm going to pick Ventus. And then, yeah, I've been following him ever since. Usually I'm not, you know, for the longest time I wasn't able to get the games on launch, but probably the fondest memory I have with Kingdom Hearts was with Kingdom Hearts 3. I was able to actually, you know, like, pre-order it and then, like, go to, like, so it's the midnight release, but where I live, it's mountain time, so they release it at 10 o'clock. So you're just, like, waiting, you know, right before 10 o'clock outside the GameStop, and then they let you go in and get your game. I drove home and then played it all night, and that was, it is so cool.
You know, then you're super tired the next morning, and you got
to, like... Oh, I didn't even care. I was like, so...
I took off of work the week that Kingdom Hearts 3 came out, just so I could just play nonstop.
Dang, dude.
I was in college at that point, so I don't know if I had class or anything the next day. I was like, it's fine. I could stay up till, you know, 3 in the morning playing Kingdom Hearts. It's cool. I've waited a bit long for this.
I didn't take time off, but my friend and I played. I went over to her house on Friday when I got off work, and we pretty much played until I had to leave so I could go to work in the morning on Monday.
Yeah. I think
we played for so long.
Because, was it, Kingdom Hearts 3 came out when I was in, like, still in high school, so, it was so funny because, like, I got it. Granted, I did not get it on release. I did not get it on release. But every free moment, that is one of the quickest Kingdom Hearts games I have ever ran through, because just every moment that I had, like, if I wasn't at school, if I wasn't at work, if I wasn't with my girlfriend at the time or whatever, I was playing Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
I was playing Kingdom Hearts 3, and I was rushing through that crap so fast.
Yeah, same. I was, completely obsessed with Kingdom Hearts 3. So, it was a good time.
Yeah, it was very fun.
A lot of squealing.
A lot of squealing.
Like, the first hour or so of Kingdom Hearts 3 was my friend and I just going, I'm doing X, you know, X, Y, and Z, some, you know, the cool game, some of the cool game mechanics and stuff in Kingdom Hearts
3. I literally could not talk during the climax. All of the climax, I legit could not talk, and my parents walked in on me and they're like, are you okay? And I'm just sitting there, like, pointing at the screen, like,
No,
Kingdom Hearts did, especially how it had ties to all the other games that, you know, like, the ties to Dream Drop Distance in particular for me were great because I really, really loved Dream Drop Distance. That's like the kind of flow motion mechanic. I was like, it's Dream Drop Distance again.
I liked that they kept that.
I'm just glad I was both sad and happy that it wasn't as broken as Dream Drop Distance.
And I do everything for the story. And story-wise, it makes sense that that flow motion was super broken in Dream Drop Distance. They were dreaming.
Yeah, don't spoil. Shush. I don't know if it's spoiler-friendly or not. We don't know yet. Austin hasn't given us the go-ahead.
I mean, it's in the name.
Yeah,
Dream Drop Distance.
The name,
I mean,
that's fair. Okay, listen, I wasn't going to say anything. That's that.
Also, I mean, yeah. It's also because 3D, because it was for the 3DS.
Yeah, it was also 3D, so they had to do the DDD thing.
Super gratifying. I was like, oh my gosh, like it's a 3DS game too, because I still didn't have a PlayStation at that point, so I was like, sick. I can still play Kingdom Hearts.
Mm-hmm. I went from 358 to Dream Drop Distance, and I was like, yep, I know what's going on.
This is fine.
Absolutely.
Some of the cutscenes in there, especially in the final world, made no sense.
Right.
It's like I recognize y'all, but I what?
Yep. All right. So my Kingdom Hearts journey actually started with Days, because I remember actually seeing like a trailer on TV and begging my parents for the game because I was like, it's a Disney game. It's gonna be family friendly, you know. So they did end up getting it.
Which it is. It's family friendly.
Family friendly. There's a 14-year-old girl
dying,
you know, committing assisted suicide.
Yeah, literally, like.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So, and I played that game. I loved it until I got to the Siege Tower boss. I could not get past that thing, and so I basically my teen self gave up on that game just because I couldn't figure out how to beat that boss and stuff like that. One other thing I remember from that time is just because with Days being your first game, you don't really know who the main characters are. Like, I just remember with Riku, with the bridge scene, to be like, who is this guy and who does he think he is being mean to Shion like that?
Yeah.
But
at least he's only mean to Shion the one time.
Yeah, but you know, so I didn't see the rest of it.
You're a sham.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the word they use.
Yeah, and so I didn't get to see the rest of him being, like, nice to her until, like, years and years later, because I didn't touch the series again until, I think, like, 2018, because my husband, who was, like, my fiancé at the time, wanted me to experience the games that he grew up playing and loved and stuff before Kingdom Hearts 3 came out. So just over like that year, I played all the different games and just had him there with me to kind of see my reactions and all that. And once 3 came out, we experienced it together.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
Nice.
That's pretty much it though. Mine's not as exciting as TJ's.
Yeah. Listen, oh god, I was really young during the whole, like, when I was discovering Kingdom Hearts. I got into Kingdom Hearts 1 after Kingdom Hearts 2 came out. Like, that's how late I got into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild. And I feel so old, because I remember reading I think it was a Game Informer magazine or something, because there was I got it only because there was an article about Kingdom Hearts 2 in it. And it was trying to explain drive forms. And there was a picture of Valor Form. And I was like, this is so fucking cool. Only it didn't say fucking because I'm like 7 or 8.
You felt it, and that's what matters.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It'd be like, squirt from Nemo. This is totally wicked.
Moving on to like nostalgia talk. We just recorded the music episode, but I think this might go out first. I'm not sure what's going to happen there, but I have to say, Lazy Afternoons is just like nostalgia, period. Like, it is nostalgia for me. For those that don't know, that's the Twilight Town theme.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you're just chilling, relaxing in Twilight Town, doing your little odd jobs. Mm-hmm. Just vibing.
Before everything bad happens.
You know, before the entire simulation crashes and you gotta take the red pill or the blue pill. Or, and with Axel and Diz, the red pill and the red pill.
The belt pill or the fire pill.
The belt pill or the zipper pill. I know my song for me with like nostalgia, as much as I love Lazy Afternoons, like it's so much nostalgia for me, just the title screen theme of 308 Over 2 Days, that version of Dearly Beloved literally like almost breaks me every time I listen to it, because like it just brings back so many good memories of when I was younger playing that game and getting way too attached to the characters.
I mean, if there's a game to get way too attached to the characters, that's it.
Yeah.
And I was in middle school.
Like, I've already seen that Freeze, Dearly Beloved, is going to be that for me. Where Dearly Beloved turns on and it's just like, ugh.
Mm-hmm. It's just, it's home. It's like everything just culminated to that.
Yeah, that was like, Free and its music and stuff was kind of like Marvel's, the Avengers Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're sitting there and it's the end of an era.
Like, you're sitting on the title screen. Not even like pressing play yet, because you're just, you can't believe it's in your hand on your screen.
Mm-hmm.
I would be lying if I said I didn't take 5 minutes, just sat there soaking it all in.
My friend and I, we sat on the title screen long enough for the,
For the intro movie to start playing again?
The intro movie to play, that, you know, that plays that when you sit there long enough. That played like 3 times. We just on the opening screen for so long. We're just like, okay, are you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. Waiting. Oh, entry, well, we have to wait for the movie to finish.
Of course.
It started out, we sat there long enough that we started again.
Finger just hovers over that new game on the X button, just...
Uh-huh. And,
seeing this guy.
I know that...
Oh, yes!
Oh, God!
For those that. Listening, Austin art. Is... Yeah, Austin's holding up the title screen art, and it is just watching that fade in.
Sora in the water with the Palpu fruit.
So nice.
Not to mention the after the game one is even better.
Oh yes, absolutely. I saw the after the game one and I was like, my heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I got into it kind of late, but Kingdom Hearts is always going to be home.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now.
Kingdom Hearts is literally my comfort game franchise. Mm-hmm. That and Legend of Zelda, but I haven't played Legend of Zelda in a long time, just because no really new ones have come out that I've been interested in anymore, which sucks because I've played a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kingdom Hearts is like the characters, the story, the world, everything in it is just my, like, I just feel safe. I feel like just, it's just comforting, even when they make it really depressing and you want to kill Nomura, because why would you do that to these characters?
Right.
That's what I've been thinking. You're like, it's my comfort game. And I'm like, well, you're not, I can't say you're wrong. I was literally tearing my hair up over Back to Sister and Union Cross.
Oh my God.
Like,
the fact that it, these games make you feel emotions like this just shows how well they do when you think about it. Like, they make you care about these characters and what happens to them.
Austin,
I got way.
Austin was not wrong.
Yeah.
When he said that the emotional beats hit.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Every
dialogue might be
single
clunky.
Time.
there might be bad sexist choices. There might be a shitty gameplay, whatever. The emotions and the character development, even though sometimes it's not that deep or not explored well, it all works in such a perfect, like, way together.
It's just, emotionally. It's all charming. It's just that it's that little bit of charm that lends itself to, like, those little imperfections. Like, some characters are more developed than others. Some characters get, like, some characters aren't even characters sometimes. But women. It all fits together. Yeah, women. Except for Aqua. Aqua's a baddie. And just obligatory, you know, Cronus, Riley, whoever. And Meg. So they don't kill me. Meg's a baddie.
Yeah, and I mean,
and Mulan.
Mulan Kingdom Hearts did more than she did in the movie.
Lots of complaints about women in Kingdom Hearts. I do love that Ping is such a shit companion.
Mulan is so sick.
Mulan rock.
Like, it's such a simple thing. But I love when they, like, without mentioning anything, they just put something that mechanically fits the characters or the story so well like that.
Mm-hmm. And also, I do appreciate this. I just wasn't old enough to realize at the time, or, like, I guess, experienced enough. But, like, Xion and Daze, I'm fairly certain, unless I'm wrong, and just putting headcanons on things that don't need to be headcanons, I'm fairly certain they were implying that Xion was technically trans.
I don't know if it was intentional.
I don't know if it was intentional, but they might have...
It's very common reading.
Yeah.
It's definitely
Whether they wrote it to be read that way,
I just feel like
it gets read that way a lot, and that's whether they intended it or not, it's kind of what it's become.
Yeah, I don't know.
And, you know, it evolves, and there's nothing wrong with reading it that way, even whether they meant it to or not. And
It's just the line that, like, if you see a face, a boy's face, I'm running out of time, just, like, kind of sticks.
Mm-hmm.
But also, back when I was, like, really messing these characters, I was 12, and they got me to cry over Xion's death. And the frickin' who will I eat ice cream with?
If you don't cry on that scene,
you're a liar. You're a psychopath.
You're a liar, or you are a brand new nobody.
Or you skipped all the cutscenes.
Like a monster.
Imagine playing, like, and skipping the cutscenes in
Kingdom
Hearts game. You're lucky you can skip them at all.
You couldn't.
You used to not be able to.
I lost my mind. I don't know how many times I heard Riku tell me the bullshit right before his first fight.
It is I, Ansem.
The seeker of darkness.
You're never taking Kairi's heart.
I can't think of that scene anymore without thinking of the Just a Pancake video.
Oh my god.
Just a Pancake's so good.
Zooms in on Riku's face for the whole thing.
I used to be able to quote the entire Ansem monologue before, like, the first Ansem fight.
Head movements too in that video. You're like, you have to do, like, lift your head up with the, "It is I."
Yes.
It is I.
This island is a prison surrounded by water. God. I don't know why Kingdom Hearts 1 Ansem voice was so satisfying to me. That's Billy Zane, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that his voice is so satisfying to me.
I wish they could have got him back for future games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Kingdom Hearts has a lot of really famous actors doing VA work. So it's always been weird to me that Billy Zane never came back. But
to be fair, I guess also it does make sense to make him sound like... It makes sense story-wise why he sounds the way he does. I forget if that's a spoiler or not. So I don't know if I can explain it. Because, like, hopefully I'll know what I'm getting at. It makes sense why he sounds the way he does, I feel like. Because they didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
Back when they were, like, that Billy Zane casting.
Yeah, having the voice actor that they do. We can say it. Maybe we can't. Having the specific voice actor that they do have Ansem now does make a lot of sense.
Yeah. If you know, and you probably agree with me. But I would be lying if I said I didn't miss Billy Zane. Which is why Kingdom Hearts 3 has a mod where you can get the Billy Zane voice clips back. For the fights. And I've used it before. And it, like, it's just nice hearing those old clips again. Submit! Like, oh, that was a voice crack. Hello. Submit! There you go, that's better. Come, Guardian.
What? Did
Christopher Lee?
Because the original VA was Christopher Lee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember, because for some reason I'm blanking on how long he was Diz.
I think up until 3, but I could be wrong. I don't remember when he died.
I don't think he did anything after 2, to be honest.
Yeah.
From birth, but like.
So I think he did 2, and then his official, like, the guy who officially does all of his other voice acting, so the guy who does him in, like, who does Dooku in the Clone Wars series, and that's, like, you know, his official
successor, official replacement, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, his official successor to the voice does the rest of it. But, so, and,
I'm yelling Roxas in my head.
Roxas!
Roxas! This man speaks nonsense.
It looks like he did 2 and 358, but that was the only 2 he did.
Was he in Rechain? Was he in Rechain of Memories too, or was that the other one?
That was the other guy.
Okay, so it's just 2 in Days. Okay.
The other guy.
Yeah. At least according to his IMDb.
And then,
yeah. That's probably trustworthy.
Yeah, probably.
Usually pretty good. And then Nimoy as Xehanort.
Yes, Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah. And Mark Hamill as Erekus.
Mark Hamill as Erekus.
Star Wars versus Star Trek.
I loved that comparison when I first realized it.
I thought I read somewhere like a quote attributed to Nomura where he's talking about the English VAs, and he's like, you got to admit, any game where Mark Hamill and where Luke Skywalker and Spock fight each other is a good game.
He said he preferred the English voice actors for that reason.
Nimoy has such a specific voice for Xehanort specifically. That's
yeah.
It's so hard that
and
he
like it was
passed.
Really obvious in 3 that it wasn't him.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And like you could tell. The guy they
Rutger Hauer.
He was really trying.
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, I think he did a really good job.
And it wasn't bad.
I think he did a really good job.
It wasn't bad. It just wasn't.
It's just it's just a weird disconnect when like you play 3 and then you play Birth by Sleep like right after, like right next to each other. It is a bit of a weird disconnect. Yeah. But like he did a very good job for like. Because I thought he was original. I thought his original voice was 3, but then when Remind came out, they changed it. Like they updated it, right?
No. So he's had 3 VAs in English now. There was Leonard Nimoy for everything up until 3, and then Rutger Hauer did 3. But then he passed away before he could record Remind. So then we got Christopher Lloyd.
Okay, I'm trying to remember because I know like
I don't remember. I don't remember his voice in Remind as much as I do his.
It's a little closer to Nimoy, but I don't know. They both just had that character in different moods, sort of. Like I don't know. It's hard to compare them directly. I don't think anybody's done a bad job, though.
No,
Everyone
portrayed the character well. I think the voice like helps it.
You just can't fully replicate Nimoy. Like it's just too specific.
Yeah. Just look up clips of like each 3, and you'll be able to tell the differences when they're next to each other. It's pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, like sometimes I feel like a little bad for the VA successors
Because they have to live up.
Because there are some names. Yeah. Yeah, there are some names. There's some people, you know, like the guy who does Genie.
Robin Williams.
It's the Kingdom Hearts successor. Successor is Dan Castellaneta. It's the same guy that does Homer.
Yeah. Right.
Oh wow.
Yeah, everything besides the first Aladdin movie, he's always been Genie.
Mm-hmm. Like, so there are just some voices that you just can't replicate properly.
Yeah.
And
like
you're expected to.
Like the intent is there, but like it's never really gonna match. Especially if you're a longtime mm-hmm. fan of that game, like specific game where like the voice is.
Mm-hmm.
And like mm-hmm. that's the one you know, that's the one you remember. So when you hear the other one, you're like, whoa, hang on, gotta take a second. Like
that's an mm-hmm. interesting thing. It just made me think about that, like, because I grew up right alongside Haley Joel Osment, basically. He's a couple years older than me. So, you know, played Kingdom Hearts 1, Kingdom Hearts 2, and then Re-Chain of Memories comes out.
And you have
it's like, hi, I'm Sora. And then he suddenly hit puberty, and then he goes back to just about hitting puberty.
It's so funny. Because like, his voice dropped.
Yeah, you don't notice it mm-hmm. until like you put it in that order.
Side by side.
I guess the Realm of Darkness really just affected Sora, you know?
Yeah. You know, you fight it, you know, like a literal, like, embodiment of darkness. You kind of grow a couple chest hairs, you know?
I still think it, I mean, I've had people joke about it before, but the fact that Haley Joel Osment got the musical world.
And Jesse McCartney did.
Jesse McCartney hasn't.
I never thought about that.
It's like Jesse McCartney is the literal singer, and he has not sung.
And they're like, "No, we'll throw Haley in Atlantica," and I'm like,
"Well, I mean, I guess the point of Atlantica was kind of that they were bad."
God.
Like at the end of Atlantica, they're kind of bad.
Little tangent on Haley Joel Osment, because I love picking these up. There's so many. There are clips you can find of Haley where he'll go into his Sora voice in different like shows and stuff, and it's funny.
I've seen those. Mm-hmm.
It's so weird to watch him do it because like he doesn't sound like that normally now that as he's an adult. But he'll just like drop into it accidentally in the middle of a line.
It's usually whenever his character gets angry is when he drops into Sora voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's always kind of fun when every once in a while you'll realize you'll be listening to a VA and you'll realize that their just normal voice is super close.
Yeah.
To their character voice, and it always is like it almost feels like kind of like exciting and special.
You're like you're just listening to them having a normal conversation, and you're like, "Yo, wait, I can hear it."
Like this is totally this character.
It's so great. Like this is very rare. It's when their voice actors almost have like the same personality as the characters they play too. Mm. That's a very rare thing.
Voice-wise, at least, Willa Holland, who does Aqua, that's basically just her regular voice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not Kingdom Hearts, but Clone Wars again. That is one of my other obsessions. At my last con, I got to meet Ashley Eckstein, who is the voice of Ahsoka Tano in The Clone Wars. And she basically, she built Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm.
Ahsoka is the closest thing to a self-insert.
Yeah.
Like, she basically says, she says Ahsoka is a self-insert because they said, here's this character. We want you to voice her. And we haven't quite decided what her personality is yet. Give us something to go off of.
She said, I got you.
She's like, I got you. Which is really cool to realize. She's like, yeah, this Soka's basically me. Maybe, you know, some of her stuff dialed up a little bit because, you know, cartoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You kind of have to over-exaggerate in cartoons a lot sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And video games sometimes too, as well, depending on what it is.
Yeah.
I saw a post a while back. Sorry, I just started thinking about this because I was thinking about how you have to over-exaggerate actions and, like, vocal performances in cartoons. And then the post was somebody saying, like, why does every conversation feel a little off on Kingdom Hearts? And people were like, they don't interact. They, like, a lot of the times characters are just standing there talking. It's almost like a play rather than, like, a game or a show. And I didn't realize it until I saw that post.
I kind of knew that already, especially in, I will say, in Remind, the voice acting is way off, I will say. It really sounds like they just read from the script and can only do, like, two takes.
Mm.
But also,
I mean, I guess depending on how long they were working on it.
It's super funny as well, because I can't say the character, but, like, some of the characters' mic qualities... good, you know, normal, like, you know, normal, like, game studio thing. Like, normal, like... And then there's a couple people who sound like they swallowed a Discord mic.
Like, I do feel like that's more of a direction problem.
That's also, I think, I know some people were like, that was a quarantine problem as well. Which I can excuse. I mean, it happens. Just like, just do
how
him
many
better.
People...
Just do him better in the next time he's on screen, okay?
No. Like, with the quarantine stuff, yeah, like, how many people couldn't record in studios anymore?
Yeah, right. I know a couple
like,
games.
They had to create their own...
Yeah.
So the Critical Role cast was working on Vox Machina, and they literally had to record in their closet because they couldn't meet and record in studios anymore.
I know Persona 5 Strikers had to have that same thing, which is why some of the voice acting is a little off in some parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, like some
any like stuff of just... that like distant VA work, if you don't have a director or somebody there to give you active live feedback, it's going to be difficult.
It is
even if you're
difficult.
Doing it, even if you're doing it online like this, like it doesn't come across the same as it will in the actual recording.
And also keep in mind, in like studio recordings, they're working on the same setup, same mic, same everything.
Mm-hmm.
And like home stuff, he probably just had a bad mic.
Yeah,
probably couldn't get what he needed in time to do the recordings.
Do we want to get back on track?
Yeah, away from spoilers.
Probably.
Sorry.
Yeah, get back on track. Way sidetracked.
What episode are we on again? Nostalgia? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Good chunk of that's going to be cut out.
Yeah.
Oof. Let's just mark that real quick.
So I've had lazy afternoons playing.
Oh,
I should have been doing that.
By the way,
I should have been doing that. You don't want to do that right now.
I went and found like an extended YouTube one where it's like an hour long. So it's just playing.
Yep, I'm gonna do that right now. Actually, I'm gonna fall asleep to that song tonight. Probably.
Yeah. If I do that right now, I might fall asleep.
Yeah.
It's gonna be Imperial that crashes in the middle of it.
I can feel it. I can feel it coming on. I'm forcing myself through the rest of this episode.
My cold medicine wore off. Like I have a head cold right now, and my cold medicine wore off like an hour ago, and it just it hit me like a truck, man. I'm doing okay, but
yeah.
I mean, we don't have to go too much longer. I mean, we've been going for an hour.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any other like things that Kingdom Hearts things that like that is a nostalgia trigger basically for you guys?
That isn't spoilery. I'm gonna have to think on that one.
I have one that's not spoiler. I'll say Beast Castle, just the whole world of Beast Castle is very nostalgic to me because, you know, that's one of the few that I got to play on the PlayStation when I was at my friend's house. And then you go there a lot in 358 So, you know, I mean, because also there just aren't that many worlds in 358, so.
Yeah, you know, Zaldan drags you there.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I will say...
To tell you that love is dumb.
Right. I will say, in terms of, like, nostalgia, just remembering, like, things that, like, made me think of, like, my childhood playing those games, honestly, the just amount of childlike wonder I got back when I was super young, just flying around Neverland, just around the clock tower. And then I had to do that on a file that wasn't beaten, because if it was, I ran into the Phantom and I got scared. But before the Phantom fights, just flying around the ship and flying around the clock tower and all that was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And swimming in Atlantica. I liked swimming in Atlantica because I was obsessed with underwater stuff. So I loved the swimming in Atlantica. Combat, not so much, but just kind of swimming around and vibing.
Yeah, if you aren't trying to fight while you're doing it, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For some reason, what you said, Carlos, about Beast Castle, yeah, like, it was not my first game or anything, but I must Beast have Castle's... spent a ton of time grinding in Beast Castle or something. Actually, I know I did, because the fucking Zaldan fight was, like, my first real hurdle in Kingdom Hearts 2. I spent so much time in Beast Castle that I can't get the song out of my head if I think about it. And just, like, I know the layout of Beast Castle, like, granted it's not hard, but it's so ingrained in my head.
You want to know why I remember Beast Castle? Roxas. That stick.
Yeah, that's a stick.
That's a stick. Oh, I also have something spoilery to bring up later when we're done with this, because I just remembered it. But I'll talk about it later. So we can get this episode finished. Oh, wait, no, wait, it's not spoiler. What am I saying? Duh, it's part of 358. Can I talk about it real quick? I think. Yeah. Because y'all have talked about Bequeathic and BBS before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So.
But Kara's.
So, Roxas handing Xion his Keyblade was a mini Bequeathing to Xion to get her to use hers again.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I got.
Maybe.
Yeah, and clearly it doesn't have to be an intentional thing, because Aqua with Kairi, that was not intentional.
Yeah. That was just Kairi trying to, like, hide.
Yeah. So I think... But I shouldn't have said that.
Cut that out.
I forgot that was spoilers.
God.
Dang, and that's spoilers from, like, 4 games in the future. Not even close to
that.
It's so hard. It's so hard talking with other people who know it all to not
because you're so used to
spoilers.
It.
Yeah. Like, with them, it's easy because they don't know anything.
Yeah. Shoot, yeah, I completely forgot about that. Yeah. We'll cut it out. It's okay.
Yeah.
This is fine. Uh-huh. This will probably be one of the goose of just talking about how
just talking about god, we keep talking about spoilers.
That could be the goof of us being like, it's so hard not to go into spoilers.
Yeah.
I think a nostalgia thing for me is, like, stained glass in general now is just associated with Kingdom Hearts to me. And anytime, like, or like colored, like filtering through colored glass, not necessarily stained glass windows or anything, just like filtering through colored glass. Like, that's just such a Kingdom Hearts thing to me now.
Definitely. Or something actually, which is really interesting to me, because I understand why it does it, but I don't understand why it's taken so long. Just like peaceful night skies. Where, like, it's a perfect temperature outside, you're just walking around, there's stars in the sky, it just always reminds me of Kingdom Hearts.
Just hope those stars don't blink out.
Stars, all those worlds.
I haven't seen one yet. But I always, like, get that, like, just looking out the, like, just looking out on it, just, like, wondering what's up there, always makes me think of Kingdom Hearts for some reason. Also just a sucker for space and all that, so that too. And aesthetic.
going back to like songs and stuff, like honestly for me, nostalgia wise, it was Sanctuary, because like I said, Days was my first game, and I just remember hearing that song for the first time and then coming back to it years later and be like, oh, I remember this song, I really liked this song.
As much as I love Sanctuary, Sanctuary is my favorite. Simple and Clean never fails to make me like emotional.
Yeah, I don't know how many times, because I would have a save right before the final fights, because I had enough that it wasn't a consistent thing that I'd get the secret movie, but I might get the secret movie. And I had a friend that had a passing interest in Kingdom Hearts, so if anybody came over that had even the slightest interest, I would blast through the end and watch the final credits to hopefully get the secret movie. I don't know how many times I've watched Kairi and Sora get torn apart, Simple and Clean, but I don't cry every time it now, but it's so emotional still.
Again, that was another time where the animation and the music
just clicked so well.
So well, they did so good with that. Like you said, I know you will. And the beat drops.
Yeah, and then just, I know you will when you walk. Just right there.
Yeah.
And then just the spectacle of like the stars falling down, recreating Destiny Islands and
it's
all.
It's so beautiful.
It's so. Could you, like, I wish I could have seen that for the first time when it came out. Like, just being able to be old enough to understand how impressive that was at the
it
time.
It was insane. Like, the level of, like, those cutscenes, and it was the same with Final Fantasy X whenever they did like the really intense great ones.
Yeah, the pre-rendered ones were so sick.
Yeah, it was so impressive because like the gameplay, it looked fine for the time, but then those cutscenes would always like, they don't anymore, but they felt photorealistic at the time.
Definitely not anymore.
Yeah, they don't hold up, but they still look really beautiful.
I don't know if you count this as a spoiler or not, but 3, the gameplay rendering, you almost don't notice when you switch into a pre-rendered cutscene. Like the 3
game is beautiful.
3 is so
Unreal
gorgeous.
Engine 4 does that, man. Like it's so okay. Nice as a game engine. You can get some really good stuff
and
in
like,
there.
Every single movie is just an game is just an absolute masterpiece. But 3 was really cool. The graphics for 3.
I will say the pre-rendered cutscenes for 3, like as beautiful as they are, I can't take the Disney characters seriously in them. Especially Mickey. Mickey and the pre-rendered cutscenes in 3 looks so weird.
Oh, Mickey.
It was really built for the human characters. And they look amazing. They look fantastic. The detail on Sora, especially, and how pretty his eyes are and everything.
Mm-hmm.
My God. But no, Mickey just doesn't fit.
And that's another thing that's been really cool. I mean, I didn't, you know, live through it, but going back and watching in the games, you get to see, especially when I did, like, I was watching playthroughs of all of them, you know, from 1 to Dream Drop Distance in preparation for 3, to get to see the progression of the progression of the graphics.
Yeah.
And then you get 3, and it was just, that was kind of that, you know, another one of those, everything we have has been building up.
Like, it has come to a full circle here. Like, and 3 is just so good at that in almost every single regard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, this isn't really spoilery, because I'm not going to talk about spoilers, but just, like, the gameplay, like, takes from everything before it. All the good things before it, anyway. No freaking rechain of memories card system over here. Someone modded that though, which is really funny. I don't think it ever got finished, but like they had a little beta of it going on. It was okay. It was cool. But just, like, it pulls everything so well. And, like, if you were a longtime fan of the series, it, like, honestly makes you fall in love with the series all over again. And it really pulls at you.
Mm-hmm. When you were talking about progression earlier, Wayfinder, it wasn't what you were talking about, but it made me think about that moment in Kingdom Hearts 2 when you realize just how outgrown, when Sora first wakes up and his clothes are, like, so small, and you realize how much he's grown.
Stretches and you're like, oh!
You're a big boy now.
Right?
Sora, you're all grown
My man up. Got Ocarina of Time.
Ooh. Not quite that bad. It's only a year, not
I know, but still.
But still, yeah.
And speaking of progression, I love this so much. And it's just a little anime. It's just a little detail that I like. His hair, his like two main spikes on his hair, just keep going up every time there's a main entry.
You notice his necklace.
Yes, it grows. It like gets shorter on him. It's so cool.
Like it when in one it was like super oversized, definitely, and. Three, it actually looks like
three looks like a pendant. Like,
yeah.
And his shoes, do his shoes fit better? They're not like freaking giant clown shoes.
He doesn't feel ridiculous anymore.
He's throwing into his like,
Sora he's went from this like I forget how old he was in Kingdom Hearts 1. He was
14.
12 or 14 in Kingdom Hearts 1.
Yep.
Because Riku was 15, I think.
Those fairies dressed him up really nicely.
Yeah, and like, and now he's like this like 17, 18 year old adult. In Kingdom Hearts 3, and like, just look how far he's come.
It's weird. We don't really know how long it's been. The only confirmation we have is that he's at least 15 because there was a year gap. We don't know how long Kingdom Hearts 2 or anything since then has taken.
It could have taken 2 days.
With some of the conversations in 3,
I feel like 2 was.
It feels like it wasn't that long. Like,
no.
To spoil something, but the Twilight Town conversations.
No, yeah, those are quick. Yeah. Those happen fast.
Well, they imply, like, you haven't been gone long. Like, why are you getting all emotional? And I'm like, how quick did these games happen? It's been 13 years for us.
Yeah, like, I think it's just because it took so long for each game to come out, especially.
Mm-hmm. So as far as we know, it could be the same year. He could still be 15.
Listen, if he grew that much to be 15, that's a hell of a growth spurt, my dude.
I just because, you know, the gameplay doesn't really have anything to do with it, but I feel like 2 took longer than 1. Like, time, like, maybe 1 was a couple, like, a week, and 2 was maybe a month.
Mm-hmm.
2 probably did take longer just because of how much more stuff there was to do. Like, in the main story.
We don't know how long it takes them to get from world to world as well.
Yeah,
but we never see them rest. So like, there's no, there's no delineation of time.
We never see them eat.
Yeah,
and I think
Sora's like probably starving, dude. No wonder he's so skinny, huh?
He's in 3,
but like every other game, like
there's status effects.
There's the whole scene in 2 when they're talking to the Emperor of Land of Dragons, and Goofy wants to ask for food. So maybe they just haven't been eating.
Yeah.
Oh my god! I want to explain why Sora was so skinny in 2. My god.
I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, in days, you know, when Roxas falls asleep, it's quite a while that he's asleep for, and that's when Sora's in Castle Oblivion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
It's like 20 days.
Castle Oblivion took days. We know that much.
Yeah.
I was looking at like the day's timeline specifically to go with the chain of memories, and it seems like Roxas was like unconscious for like 20 days,
yeah,
right?
Roughly.
But the journal entries from the members in Castle Oblivion. Like, it's like day 22, I want to say, that one of them mentions that the Keyblade Master has entered the castle.
Yeah.
And then it's like day 24 or 25 that Axel says, I'm alone in this castle. There's no one else here anymore.
Yeah. Chain of Memories only takes a couple of days.
So it's like a matter of days.
Yeah. Because to be fair, we also don't know how time worked in the memory worlds, like in the card worlds and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Time axis. We'll talk about that in Dream Drop Distance.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. And then,
I feel like Nomura just doesn't want to dive into time and like explaining that kind of stuff because it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't. A lot of games don't do that for that reason. It kind of breaks immersion.
It'll just mess with the continuity because if they forget it for one moment, then it's over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This game series continuity is already holding on by a thread. I would love to make a joke here, but I think I already made it in the spoiler episode. So
we can talk about the cape one, like, but we can't talk about the other one.
Yeah, we can talk about the cape one, but not the other one. Yeah.
Yeah, like I understand that we're not going to give the timeline, so that it's not going to interfere with continuity. And all that reminds me of is there was a thing I saw that was like, there was one where plot holes are just pockets for headcanon.
Yep.
And another one is someone says, well, it's not that deep. It's not about it being deep. The ground is soft and I am ready to dig.
Yep.
It'll be as deep as that I fucking want it to be.
One of the greatest rules in writing that I have come across is if the audience starts making like your story for you, just shut up and let them do it because it's more interesting than whatever you could have come up with.
Yeah, that's
yep.
I'm not a writer, but I play a lot of tabletop RPGs, and as a DM, you're sitting there and your players are theorizing about all this cool stuff, and you're like, "Damn, that's way better than what I was gonna do." Let me
use that. Like, literally, that's what Five Nights at Freddy's is doing right now.
Yeah, of course.
Notes there continually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my DM will literally we'll be talking, and my DM will literally pull out a notebook and start going. Like, not necessarily like plot, but like lore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He builds lore off of stuff.
The greatest way to world build is to have other people talk about your world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like this other, I don't know, always play just D&D, but there's another one, Monster of the Week. You may have heard of it. In that, the DM guide, it basically says, build your map, so to speak. Like, have a plan for what's happened in your world, but leave tons of gaps. And
yeah.
A player asks a question, and it's not something that's on your things of importance. I don't know. Tell me about it. Let them fill in the gaps. And it not only takes the pressure off of you, but it also it makes it more integrated. Like, that person then feels responsible for this world and the story in a way.
Yeah.
You put a basis to where everyone can get involved and engaged. So
yeah.
And in this world that y'all are in, the story that technically all of y'all are telling, because they're just playing characters in it. They're still part of it. Definitely something Kingdom Hearts took advantage of.
There was something that I read recently that Kingdom Hearts does really well. And it was basically, if you have to info dump, if you have to do a bunch of exposition, make it a character who gives the exposition. Yes. Because then if you change it, you can just say that that person was misinformed.
Yep, that's true.
Everything Diz says about nobody.
That's based off of his research alone.
Yeah.
His research
and his incredible bias based on the fact that it was all of his apprentices who became the first nobodies we know about that retained their form.
Yeah.
And fucked him over. And he has a right to be mad, but
the first
he basically
six.
Became a nobody racist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he became a nobodyist.
Yeah, but they did so well because all of your exposition comes from your Ansem's reports and the secret Ansem's report and the
They come from
the Xehanort reports and the diary entries.
They come from
like,
reports and like personal stories of each character.
Yeah.
So like it allows that room for, oh, that's what they thought at the time, but then they looked into more research or they did some other things with it, or like,
yeah,
and worst case scenario,
that opening for an unreliable narrator just gives you a lot of freedom to fix stuff later.
Yeah, I love the unreliable narrator tropes. It's so fun to mess with. I've been listening to Lazy Afternoons this entire time. It's great. It fits the vibe so well.
Well, we wanted nostalgia.
That is true. What sucks is now I have my energy back, so I'm staying up for like 2 more hours. It'll crash later. It's fine.
Well, do you guys have anything else you want to talk about, or we want to wrap up?
I think we can wrap up.
I think we're good to wrap up.
We talked about a good amount of stuff tonight. So.
We talked about enough we could talk about without spoiler territory.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and then some, because I've been cut out a lot.
Yeah, it's cut out a lot of...
Okay, so when you do the cutting, Austin, we just, like, drop... You don't... No explanation. You don't even have to explain anything further, but just, like, drop us in something in the Discord and just, like... So this is, you know, I cut out X amount of time of spoilers. Just tell us how long.
Just throw in the nostalgia episode chat and just.
Yeah, heck, I can export it and just put it somewhere too, for like in one of the spoiler channels to be like, hey, if you guys wanted to hear these extra spoiler talks that happened during nostalgia, here you go.
Here you go. Just like throw them in their respective game.
You know, the extra, you know. 30, you know, we had to cut out 30 plus or something minutes.
I apologize for putting us on the Terra tension.
Oh. No, it would have ended up there anyway, I'm sure.
We're
it's
all
hard
Kingdom
to
Hearts
do
fans.
It, yeah.
We all know,
we
like, it's
know.
Hard to it's hard to hold back whenever, because everything's so connected. Well, our intro and outro song is Dearly Reminded by On Ultra. You can find a link to his Bandcamp in the show notes. You can also find a link to our Discord server in the show notes, where you can hang out with great people like all of these fine folks. Do you guys have anything you want to plug?
My Instagram is T360MCXD. It's the same as my username on the Discord if you're in there already, because I do a lot of random stuff. Pretty cool. And then I have another account that's in the bio of that one where I do some music, I do some projects, some entertainment stuff. Just kind of showing my progress through the entertainment industry, seeing how that's going. I could post some stuff very frequently. It could take me a while. No guarantee, but hey, it's a gamble. Go follow it. You might like it. Who knows? Join the Discord as well so you can be in these podcasts if you want.
Follow it like me.
Yo, let's go! Just got the notification. Yeah.
I am on Archive of Our Own, write fan fiction. My username is Wayfinder1314. I write kind of a bunch of stuff. Some of it hasn't been updated in a while. So if you guys want to take a look at that and maybe shoot me your ideas or encouragement, see if I can get started again.
And you can find me on Twitter at Omega Carlos, Carlos with a K. I will constantly be retweeting nerdy things of all sorts and varieties because I'm a huge dork. So, yeah.
And I don't have anything, so just come, like TJ was saying, come join us on Discord, and who knows, maybe you could be a part of the next episode.
Could be.
Keep in mind, these filler episodes, they were our ideas. You can pitch ideas if Austin asks. Mm-hmm. He's a pretty chill dude when it comes to this stuff. It's really cool.
Like, tons more Kingdom Hearts friends. I've only got one normally.
Yeah, make a ton of Kingdom Hearts friends. Get some people to geek out to. It's great.
Well, I just want to thank you guys all for being on again.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope you guys had a great time. But that's all from us this week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
It's super weird. I talk to different parts of the mic based on which character I'm being.
Oh, no.
Gotta get the right angle.
Goofy's down here.
Donald's over here.
And Sora's, like, up in this corner.
Yeah. So great. Gotta get the right frequency response.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course. That's definitely not just something my brain started doing, and now I can't undo it.
What about Barbossa, though?
Yo, where's Barbossa at on the mic?
You best start believing in ghost stories, Miss Turner. For tonight, you are in one.
That line is still raw as fuck.
That was incredible.
That line is still raw.
That's
as
how
fuck.
I get into the Barbossa voice. And I can only get into my Zigbar voice by going, as if. I cut it out of the episode. But literally any Zigbar line, I go, as if, blah, 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 blah.
You need to keep that in because it'd be so funny. Because it fits his character so well.
He's literally as if guy.
Yeah.
When Brig showed up before, like, it's revealed who he is, I muted my mic so that Darylise, Riley, and Cronus couldn't hear it. And then I did as if and unmuted my mic.
That's funny.